Hey everyone, you're listening to Superwomen. Today's guest is Melanie Masserin, the founder and CEO of Gia. Over the pandemic, I think we all can agree, we were drinking a little too much. And as I was beginning to look for something that tasted not sweet, not the little drink with an umbrella, I was introduced to Gia and I became an instant fan. Apparently I drank too much of it, according to this interview, but I was fascinated with her story, how she built the company, how she had to pivot during the pandemic, and I just love her company. So take a listen. Melanie, I'm so excited to talk to you today. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So I became first aware of your brand a couple summers ago when I was looking for a non-alcoholic alternative. And I hated all the sweet crap. And you sent me, you know, or you or someone in my network sent me a bottle of Gia. And I was like, oh, this is it. This is now my non-alcoholic drink of choice. And I was so excited that you were coming into the space. So I'm just so curious, what inspired you to launch the brand and what were you doing before that?
Well, I think you described it perfectly, actually. I haven't been drinking for a number of years, and I was really frustrated with all of the really sweet, you know, crap out there. It was really like, I felt like I couldn't even ask for non-alcoholic options when I was going out to dinner because I was so used to them not even existing. It would be like Coca-Cola or, you know, mocktails and mocktails. There's even a joke in the name, so it's just not what I wanted. And I really felt like I was being questioned always for not drinking. Like it had something to do with the core of my personality or my being. Like I wasn't partaking. I was, you know, or it implies some people assume you're sober or you have a, you know, you're in recovery or you have a problem or you're, you know, are you expecting? Like there's so many questions. And the reality is like, I was really busy with work and I just was always trying to figure out like how to be as healthy as possible and fuel my body in the best way as possible. And I was just really gradually like realizing that the morning fog was coming from even one or two glasses of wine in the evening. And there was just nothing that would kind of curb my craving for something that would be an adult and complex flavor without all of the sugars.
So you were pretty early on, and now there's a wave, you know, there's non-alcoholic bars and, you know, there's tons and tons of brands in the market. So what was it like trying to break through and convince people, no, this is something we need and here's how you're going to, you know, make it come to life?
Well, it was really scary because, you know, I've always worked, you know, either for CEOs or for successful entrepreneurs or for kind of like, you know, hot startups, but I hadn't really thought about going on my own. And I think you can have a great idea that has product market fit and that will sort of like carry you forward to start something. But this idea, when I started working on it, just didn't exist. And it was really scary because there was just no way to even test. I could ask, you know, I went to a bunch of restaurants and I asked like, are people asking for non-alcoholic drink? And they said, not really. Like, what do you mean non-alcoholic drinks? You know? And because I think I had to really convince myself that the supply would drive the demand and really put myself out there to kind of test this idea and bring it to life. But it was really scary.
So what did you do to sort of convince people of this? Because obviously it wasn't easy and it was new, but clearly you made headway. What was sort of your magic sauce to that?
Well, you know, our strategy was to really show and not tell. So when we started developing the formula, it took a year and a half. And, you know, the formula was really inspired by the things that I was craving. Like this drink is so personal because it's really inspired by, you know, my childhood and my life and all the things that I want to share and all the things that I miss about home and just these moments of gathering together. And so I would like cook for my friends and then have them try the formula. And then I would write all the feedback on post-its. We had hundreds of them. And I think when in the setting where it was aperitivo hours, so this moment before you have your meal, when you're waiting for your first drink, making them this cocktail with Gia, they realized like, oh, it's like a real drink. And that's what, exactly what we wanted to show. So it was a lot of education, you know, in person. And that's why our strategy for launch was to launch in restaurants only, because we wanted to show that we had a culinary forward approach, that this was like a drink that you could share with friends and that would break down kind of like the stigmas around not drinking, and that it would pair well with the food that was in front of you. And it wouldn't kind of compete with it in terms of sugar. It's like very much like an Italian Amaro. It's a little bit bitter. It's refreshing. And so we did that. And then, of course, you know, COVID hit and it was right when we were supposed to launch. So we had to launch online only. And so I didn't really know how to convince people. But because I had done all this community building, which was not really community building, it was just asking all my friends for their feedback and then their friends of friends, and you know, just trying to get as much feedback as possible from people, because I wanted to be sure that this was something that had legs. When we launched online, they sort of were familiar with the idea. And, you know, really we saw like kind of word of mouth, like really carrying us through the first months of the pandemic, because they were explaining the drink for us, you know, like sending it to people saying like, you know, I don't remember if we sent it to you in the summer, but that's right when we launched. And so it was exactly for this specific reason that we were like, this is how you make it and this is when you drink it. And we sort of had to like virtually explain to people what Ghia was.
So this is more of a personal, not necessarily business, but because it's non-alcoholic, when I open up your bottle, I tend to drink the whole thing over the course of the night because there is no alcohol in it. So I'm like, it doesn't even matter. I'll just keep going. You know, do you recommend that people, you know, sip on it and enjoy one over the course of the night? Or are they, do you know, like bottle finishers like me where I'm like, well, I guess I got to buy another one now?
Well, it's funny. I don't quite know of anyone that drinks a bottle by themselves. So you would definitely be in my like leading chart. And I love that. And actually, we really designed it so that you can't really have too much Ghia. We do hear that people, you know, they say, I have three or four per night. And it's good for you. It's even if you're pregnant, like this stuff, it's all great ingredients. So there's no worries there. But we made it, you know, specifically a little bit bitter so that you would sip on it and not, you know, chug it like you would a mocktail or something that is fresh and juice based. So we can make sure you get more bottles in case that happens again.
Thank you. So with COVID, you know, I never want to say that's perfect timing, but it did allow people who were, you know, drinking too much, who were beginning to go, okay, I need to calm down. I need an alternative. You came on the market. What challenges did you experience with your growth or the adoption suddenly of this new sort of genre?
Well, I think it was a little bit of, you know, on the one hand, it was a tricky time to market things. And there was really no way that we could get people to try it. Like restaurants were shut down. And even if we were in a few grocers, like they weren't doing what we call demos. When you see someone, you know, at like the supermarket, that's like trying to make you try their things, which is like a very effective offline marketing technique to get people to just try your product. And usually, you know, allows people to get a taste of it and then purchase it. Like all of that stuff wasn't allowed because of COVID. So we sort of had to describe what it tasted like to people. And when you say like, my drink is bitter, that's not like what drives people to buy it, because, you know, people don't associate bitter with being delicious, even though, you know, I think Ghia is really delicious. It's slightly bitter, but it's really also has like notes of citrus and rosemary. And it's really, really complex like this. So that was really, really tricky. And so, you know, a lot of the challenges, and there were many, came from COVID. And then once it started picking up a little bit, it was a pretty slow start in the summer, then we started having supply chain issues, because that's when all the COVID supply chain issues started happening. So, you know, transportation costs going up and not being able to get really easy things like glass bottles, which are usually almost always available, like started, you know, stocking out. And now we're running out of, you know, certain ingredients, because we also make our extracts custom for this drink. So it's been a little bit of a game of Tetris. And, you know, as you grow, it's like feels sometimes like you're going one step forward and three steps backward. But in hindsight, like Ghia is a year and a half now. And if I look back, like I feel like we've learned so much, but a lot of what we do and what I spend my days doing is very defensive still with the kind of supply chain repercussions of COVID. And so sometimes it feels like we're constantly building the company from scratch.
So you still feel like you're in the building the company from scratch phase. I'm not surprised because a year and a half is new, but is there a new hole in the boat each day?
There's a new hole in the boat each day. That's a really good way to put it. I've never heard that, but I really love that. I think it's maybe more romantic than putting out fires every day, but definitely.
Yeah. I have bad news for you. There's holes in the boat no matter how big you get every day. So yeah. I hope you like plunging out water. So what is the plan for the brand on the go forward? I know you launched new categories. How did you approach this knowing, okay, we're in supply chain issues? Maybe that is why you explored, you know, the new canned drinks, but I'm just curious how you plan to grow the company.
Yeah, so we have the new canned drinks, and then we also have the Nutella that we launched over the holidays that was called the Ghianduja, which is impossible to pronounce. And the canned drink, we sort of realized really early on, like, because we couldn't necessarily show people how to use ghee, we sort of wanted to, you know, we heard stories from people like they were drinking it pure and then they thought it was too bitter because of course it's super concentrated, or they were, you know, like not really knowing how to use it, even though we really put a lot of effort into making it like not that intimidating. It's like one part ghee, two parts bubbles, so it can just be sparkling water, but still, because we weren't in person to show it, that was really difficult. And so we wanted to make that perfect spritz. We also realized a lot of people were gathering outdoors or taking walks together. And so we wanted to be able to kind of like support that, of like people being able to take ghee wherever they went. And also we realized a lot of people, like I thought the core customer for ghee would be people that were completely sober or would not be drinking at all, or people like me that like, you know, I laugh that I have an annual martini, like that's how little I drink. I don't even. And what we realize is like 85% of our customer is someone who identifies as a drinker and is looking for moderation. So when they open a bottle of ghee, because not everyone drinks it through the night, they were actually worried about not drinking the whole thing in 3 or 4 weeks. And so for people, it was more approachable to have a canned beverage to try the taste of it before committing to the bottle. And of course, it took like 9 months to launch it because there's also a global aluminum shortage. but that one just felt like a really natural transition. And then with the Ghianduja, honestly, I had this idea like way, way early because Nutella was like a big thing in my house. We, on Sunday nights, we'd make crepes, or if my parents were going out, like one of the kids would make crepes for the other kids. And that was like what we were allowed to have for dinner. And we would like just lather Nutella on the crepes very generously. And it's one of those things that I have such fond memories of, but now I know too much and I can't have it. And so I wanted to make one that wouldn't be so environmentally damaging and that would be more thoughtfully sourced. And it was sort of a running joke that there's like Nutella in the office. And then for holidays, we just thought like, what is so holiday? And we thought, you know, let's make a great high quality hazelnut paste or hazelnut spread. And we started working on it. It took us a year. And now, of course, it's like confusing to my investors because they're like, why are you launching this food product? But I really believe like the past 2 years have been so difficult in terms of entrepreneurship that I have to do fun things like that with my team that we sort of do just because, to delight our customers, to surprise them, because they actually stem like not from like a business strategy, but from this memory, this nostalgic memory of like, just like beautiful moments that we want to have as adults again. And so we launched a Ghianduja over the holidays, and you know, customers were complaining. They were like, I want to be able to have it all the time. So I actually think now we're going to be relaunching it as a permanent item.
Yes, please. I love Nutella. I hate all the chemicals in it. So
yeah, the palm amazing. Oil.
Yeah.
Mom Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
So one thing that's been crystal clear since I became aware of you is your branding and your tone of voice. How did you begin to shape that and remain so steadfast? Because it can be enticing to try and appeal to everybody or try and appeal very commercial, but you look luxury, you talk luxury, you're affordable, but there's an elevatedness to your branding that, as someone who likes to proudly display the things I buy, you know, rather than hide them in a cupboard, really impinged on me.
Thank you so much. That's actually the nicest compliment. So I really appreciate that. I'm very design obsessed. It's what I do outside of work. It's, you know, I'm always hunting for vintage furniture and I'm always designing my friends' homes and offices. And it was really important to me that Gia, you know, like, takes inspirations from the past, but feels very rooted in the present. So, you know, a lot of the inspiration, like 70s Italian design and postmodernism and, you know, just like hospitality signage, like it's really beautiful, but it sometimes feels like these brands are talking to you, like all of the old spirits brands or, you know, like all of these beautiful hotels that are like really unaffordable to most. And so I really wanted Gia to be priced like a good bottle of wine and no higher. And when we designed it, we wanted it to be really playful. And it's funny because, you know, when we were developing it, it felt very lonely doing this during COVID. So I was working with my friend Willow Perrone, who helped us design it. And, you know, we found these little caps that are at the top of the bottle. We call them the mushroom cap because they're like very round. And we had the bottle already and I posted on Instagram, like, do we want to use this mushroom cap? And I got like 85% no. Like people thought it was ridiculous. And I was like, we're doing it. It's so fun, you know? And so I think it was a bit of like making sure that we had fun with it and that it didn't feel like something you had seen before too much. We wanted the bottle to be priced well. And I thought, you know, if it doesn't work, like we'll change it. But why is every bottle rectangular and why is it so serious? Like I wanted it to feel like a nice object. I wanted the bottle to have a second life. So, you know, I'm looking right now, like my bathroom has an old bottle of Gia filled with bath salts and with mouthwash because I hate mouthwash packaging of all kinds. And there's one that has like a flower on the fireplace here. So just like wanting to make an object that would also have a utility and that that would not feel like, it felt like it was for everyone. It was approachable, but it was still a treat.
Yeah, it clearly shows in the design and in the thoughtfulness you bring. And whenever I've told people who are like, what are some advice to launching a brand? You know, when I started, dare I say, my brand look and feel didn't have to be as crystal clear as it needs to be today, because there's 600 million brands and mm-hmm. anyone can start one. So whenever I see one stand out and be so thoughtful and crystal clear, I'm like, oh, this is a great example of that, which is definitely you. I know we touched on some challenges, glass shortages, aluminum shortages. The customer doesn't care, right? So what have you had to do to be nimble in your business and sort of overcome those challenges?
I mean, I'm just so impressed every day with how hard my team works. We're a very small team. We're 6 people, even kind of like this far in, because we've just been, you know, trying to save costs. And I would say, like, you know, we've very much invested so much in the product. That has been the priority, is like making sure that even though we can't be in person, when you open the box, it feels like an experience. It feels like you're walking into a place and you're being welcome. So we talked a little bit about tone of voice, like the tone of voice, even though I'm not a native English speaker, I write everything because I want it to feel really personal. We rarely use we often use I, even in emails with the team. Like I'm such a stickler with this because it really has to feel like we're a hospitality company. Like the first mission we say our mission is to take back the word drinking from alcohol. And it's like a mission of inclusivity and making everyone feel really welcome. So, you know, a lot of the challenge for us was the brand experience and setting this really high standard, even though the last thing that I wanted to do was to build a D2C company. You know, I feel like my entire career has been in the hospitality and offline experiences and retail. And I like objects and things that you can touch and smell and feel. And so it was very, very challenging for me to say, okay, you have a two-dimensional like screen and, you know, people are going to have to shop like this. I said, who's going to buy beverages online, you know? And so it was like, okay, well, it's the depth of COVID. People have been boozing too much. If they're willing to give us a try, when that box arrives at their doorstep, we have to blow their mind. So a lot of what we do and is just like really think about how we can surprise and how we can delight and how we can just be different from all the other brands. Because as you said, it's become really competitive. And that's another challenge, you know, unfortunately, is that there's a lot of copycats out there. Now just like a lot of products that I think are not being as thoughtful in terms of their ingredients and what's in it or their approach to just like recipe. And so I think differentiation has been like probably the thing that has kept me up at night the most in spite of, you know, these difficult supply chain and whatnot.
For sure. I was just recently sent something from another non-alcoholic brand who I will not name, and it tasted like gasoline. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay. There was no thoughtfulness put into this whatsoever. But I could imagine what keeps you up at night about the competition and how many brands are crowding in. What were you doing before Gia? You mentioned hospitality, but I'd love to hear about, you know, some of your early experience that led to this.
Of course. Well, I grew up in France, and then, you know, probably the most defining thing that happened to me was that I moved to the US for college, which was very unexpected. I sort of like applied and got in, and that was the thing that, like, if you think of like one moment in your life that changes your life, like that was definitely it. You know, my parents didn't graduate high school, and so it was just like just the most amazing thing. But I sort of showed up there, and I was, you know, in college during the financial crisis. So then, of course, like having paid so much for college, I was really worried I wouldn't get a job afterwards because no one was sponsoring visas, and I ended up being hired by Goldman Sachs in their analyst program, which was not for me, but I did 2 years there. And I'm so glad I did because I think it sort of built my brain to be really familiar with numbers. And then when I left there, I actually ended up working for Diggin, which is listeners who are not in New York and Boston. It's like a really elevated fast casual restaurant group that, you know, is really focused on mindful sourcing and cooked vegetables. So it's very vegetable forward, even though they have really amazing protein, but they're the only fast casual that has like wild caught salmon. And so I joined there, I was doing some strategy, and then, you know, was constantly raising my hand about like design stuff and marketing. And then one day the CEO said, I think you need to just do this for us. And so I started designing the restaurants and kind of like thinking about the touch points and the brand experience and how to elevate that, even though you were, you know, working with very low margin and, you know, trying to create as high of a quality as possible in the plate for the dollars that you were getting. So I'm probably Diggin's biggest fan. It's called Dig now, but I'm still their biggest fan because I know how obsessed they are with supply chain. And I think that I just was trained so well by them. And it's really impacted my career. And then after that, I was recruited by Glossier to work on their retail. So I opened the first Glossier stores, we did 8 in the first 2 years. And, you know, I got to have a very heavy hand on the design of the flagship in New York and the first LA store and a few others. And it was like just an incredible experience and learning so much from Emily, who is absolutely obsessed with creating the best experience possible for the customer and doing things differently and building a really personal voice. So it's something that I also was able to learn from her and the amazing team there so much. And I'm so grateful for. And it's really, really helped me, you know, with Gia, because I felt comfortable launching an offline brand. But once we had to work with D2C channel only, I was so grateful that I had at least evolved in an environment at Glossier where digital was a big thing. Because otherwise I would have been completely lost.
Yeah, it can be enormously scary launching e-commerce, especially if your whole plan was we're going to launch in restaurants.
Yeah.
So what's next? You're going to bring us your gorgeous chocolate forever so that it's not seasonal. What else do you have in play for Gia?
Definitely. I think I can tease that we're working on a new spritz flavor, which is really delicious. Maybe like one of my favorite ones. It's inspired by my travel and it's like has a little bit of salt in it. So I'm really excited about that one. And we're working on a new kind of like larger format product for 2023 that we've already been working on for a year. So that's just a very, very long one. But it takes a long time to build these formulas because you have to obviously figure out the taste, but also I really wanted to have no preservative. And because it doesn't have alcohol to preserve it in it, the formula has to be stable. So there's a lot of kind of food science involved. And I'm really, really excited about this one. We're also opening our Gia House in LA, which is a project that's like very close to my heart. I think I've been very lucky that my team throughout COVID has not wanted to work remote. And I think it's just kind of like a testament to like our culture and how much we value like togetherness. And so at first we were just two people. And when COVID hit, you know, my team member, she said, well, I have three roommates. It's really hard for me to focus from here. And we ended up sort of quarantining together for 6 months and just launching Gia together. And now we just took a little house in Beechwood Canyon in Los Angeles, and it will be our office, but also community house. It has a big kitchen. We can cook for people. We can host other brands. And so I'm just really excited for the world to reopen and be able to meet our customer in person. So I'm designing it, which is also really fun. And it's very colorful and a lot of postmodern references and kind of like more affordable luxuries in here.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait to see.
Come on over whenever.
I mean, I'm going to be in LA, so get ready.
Perfect.
So for a year and a half in, knowing what you've been through, the challenges of supply chain, of having to pivot from brick and mortar to direct to consumer, you still sound not overworked and burnt out and optimistic. And I'm curious, what do you do to feed that?
That's a good question. So I'm definitely overworked. I actually am definitely having like one of the weeks where I've slept the least in a long time. But, you know, candidly, like we've been fundraising. It's our first like very kind of like official fundraise because we want to roll out Gia in kind of like markets. And so we need more inventory. So this is like the more official fundraise where I get to meet people that I didn't know before. It's not just our friends and family. And I just see the response. And in spite of like, you know, us being on like the brink of like global warfare and like so much uncertainty, like people really believe and appreciate what we've done. And I think that that's been really great. I also think, you know, I wasn't like trying to build a company at all costs. This was like, I felt this need for the product. And with kind of like my entire like body and soul, I was like, this needs to exist. So this is going to be my mission. And I think that Gia is just my dream job and it's my dream company. And so I think right now it's really taking precedence over everything else in my life. But I'm just like talking to customers and like seeing how excited my team is. Like I really fuel off of that. And I also feel like living in California, I'm very lucky that I have access to a lot of like outdoor and being able to like stay really healthy. Like, you know, even though I slept 5 hours, I went and I played tennis before this podcast and I'm going to surf tomorrow. And I think that's something we really build into the culture is like where we owe it to the team to be interesting people that have lives in the real world. Like we're not just like crunching numbers behind a computer. And so I think that finding this balance and, you know, cooking meals together and whatnot is also like what makes every day worth it. So I always say, how you spend your days is how you spend your life. So I'm not thinking like, oh, this is like, you know, 5 or 10 years of where it's just Gia. I'm like, no, it's every day that we have to like put in the effort for ourselves and for our team members and for the company of like making this count. So I really live by this mantra.
I love that mentality. And I love that California makes it so suited to be able to do that. So that's one of the things I miss about not living there. So before we wrap, I'd like to ask all my guests these next two questions. What is one piece of advice that you either learned the hard way in building this brand or considering your what I consider a huge success that you'd like to pass on? And what would we be surprised to know about you?
I think the best piece of advice that I've ever received is, because something is a good opportunity, it doesn't mean you have to take it. And it's advice that was given to me by my friend Nick when I was considering a job offer after leaving Glossier, and it was like a CEO role, and I thought, I'm never going to have an opportunity like this again. But something about it didn't quite feel right. And, you know, if I had accepted it, when he said that, it resonated so much. I turned down the job and I felt so relieved. And shortly after, I had the idea for Gia. And, you know, it's like one of those other trajectory moments where my life could have really gone a different way. And obviously now with Gia being a little bit more visible, I get a lot of opportunities and I have to say no all the time. I have to say no to getting coffee with people that I really want to meet. I have to say no to advising on companies that, you know, are whose values really align with mine. I have to say no to so many things that 5 years ago I would have, you know, really wanted so much. So it's difficult, but I think the focus is and the depth of what we're doing with the brand now is like what we really have to honor. And then the second question was.
The second question was, what would we be surprised to know about you? A quirk, a habit, something funny that people are like, oh, I didn't know she was into that, or she's a fan of blah.
I think a lot of people are often surprised to hear that I surf, which is a new thing for me because I'm like, it's like not a very French thing. And I host a lot and I cook a lot and that's all very expected. But actually, like, I will always just like ditch work to go out if there's good waves. And I just like, it's like something that has really changed my life living in California. I'm trying to wrap everything up to with my fundraiser, I can go to Costa Rica and surf. And I'm just like really obsessed with learning. I took it up this year and it's been like a real obsession. So
that I love that. And I love that you're not scared of sharks, because that's what stops me from surfing.
I know, I wasn't scared of sharks until someone in California got devoured by one on Christmas Day, right where I surf. And I was like, maybe I should just be more careful. But
oh my
I think
gosh.
If you're moving, you're fine.
Oh my gosh, wow. Well, thank you so much. Where can everybody buy Gia and follow you to continue to support you?
So we're at Drink Gia on Instagram. Drinkgia.com online, and we pack and ship everything very quickly, and we're also really proud to be in 650 stockists without a distributor right now, meaning we ship to each of them one by one and we've called each of them one by one. So there's a stockist page on our site where you can find out where we are, we hope to be in more places soon.
Awesome. Thank you, and it was so great to connect.
Thank you. It was so nice to meet you. I'll send you a little top off of bottles since you go through them so fast, and I'll make sure to send you our Gianduja when it comes out.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to thank you guys for listening to today's episode. I also want to ask you to rate and review the show wherever you listen to podcasts. I know it's a pain in the butt, but it actually helps with search and algorithms. So if you love this podcast, it is an easy way to get it more visible and out there. I also want you to follow me on Instagram at Rebecca Minkoff, at RM Superwomen, and be sure to check out my book, Fearless, The New Rules for Unlocking Creativity, Courage, and Success. Thank you again, and you will hear from me next week.